Today's daf is Erechin daf Lamed, and we are 14 lines from the bottom of daf Choftes Amid Beis Mesave. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sora Aliza. So yesterday we began the ninth parak of Masechtas Erechin, which is Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'oise Inyan to the previous parak or previous two prakim of the Masechta, and that is the halachos of Stei Hachuz, specifically somebody that sells a Stei Hachuz. So a little bit of an introduction. The parsha of Moicher Stei Hachuz is in Parshas Behar. So most of the halachos that we've been learning in Masechta Seirachin are psukim tucked away in the latter part of Parshas Bechukosai. But this parsha of Moicher Stei Hachuz is not in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, but rather it's in the end of Parshas Behar. In fact, if you look at Behar Bechukosai together, so you have Parshas Behar, which talks about Shemitah, and then you have the halachos of Stei Hachuz, Eved Ivri, a lot of the mitzvahs hatfluyos ba'aretz, mitzvahs that are tolui in zman that Shemitah and Yovel is noyeg. Parshas Bechukosai is very much a hemshach to Parshas Behar with a very large interruption, which is in Bechukosai Teilechu Shetei Amilam Batayra, and then the brachas on the clog. So it's actually interesting because the end of Parshas Behar actually flows very nicely with the end of Parshas Bechukosai. It's two parshas. We lay them together sometimes. But either way, these are psukim not in the end of parashas Bechukosai, these are psukim in the end of parashas Behar. The Torah says that if somebody sells a Stei Hachuz, he can't sell it forever, but rather it's only sold up until Yovel. And it's for that reason, says the pasuk, that it's very important when a buyer and a seller sit down together to discuss selling a Stei Hachuz, you have to make sure that you don't fool the person that you're selling it to, because the buyer may not be entirely aware of the fact that he's going to pay top dollar now for a parcel of land when in fact he's only going to have it up until Yoav. So it says the Torah al Koinu Vishas Achiv. It's in this parsha right here. Make sure that you're all aware of what exactly is going on. So what do you have to be aware of? B'mispar Shana Machra Yoavil Tikna Me'ez HaMisecha B'mispar Shnei Tfoi Zimacha Lach L'fi Roi V'ashanim Tarba B'knasai U'l'fi Ma'oit Ashanim Tamit B'knasai He Mispar Tfoi Zimacha Lach. The Torah literally spells it out for us. And then the Torah says again, B'loisoinu which Chazal say, one's a nas moment, the other one's a nas dvarim, but you literally have this parasha being Moicher Stei Hachuz sandwiched between the two azores of Aina. Al Toinu, Ish Es Achiv, Stei Hachuz, and then V'lo Yisoinu, Ish Es Amisai, V'yareisim Elekecho, Ki Ani Hashem Elekecho. Why? It's because of this idea. It's because when you sell a Stei Hachuz, it's not like things today where I sell it to you, it's yours forever unless you decide to sell it to somebody else. But rather, the Mechira was only a Mechira up until Yoifo. Okay, what happens if after I sell my Stei Hachuz, I decide that I want to redeem it? So the halacha is, I have a right to redeem it. Just like we spoke last week a lot about someone who was makdish a Stei Hachuz, if he wants to redeem it, he can redeem it. If somebody sells a Stei Hachuz, he can go back to the person that bought the field from him, and he can tell him that, here's your money back, and I want the field back. That's something that he has a right to do. If he wants to redeem it, how much money does he have to give the buyer? This is one of the areas where Moicher Stei Hachuz differs greatly from makdish Stei Hachuz. The way it would work is very simple. You'd figure out how much you paid for the field, how many years you were supposed to have the field for, meaning how much time was there between the time of the Mechira until Yovel. You come up with a pro rata value for each year. Depending on how many years are remaining, that will determine how much money the Moicher has to give the Lekech when he gets his field back. In other words, it's based on the real value of the field that was sold. That's in contrast to Makdish Stei Hachuz, where when you come to be paid to the field, you're not paid it based on the real value of the field, but rather there's this objective formula that the Torah said that you're supposed to use. For every base core, it's supposed to be 50 shekel, b'shekel HaKodesh, 149th, 150th, 150th, whatever the cheshbon was. But the point is that when it comes to being Moicher Stei Hachuz, if you want to go ahead now and you want to redeem it, so over here, it's going to be based not on an objective formula, but rather over here it's going to be based on the true value of what it is that you sold. Another important halacha. Seriously? Either way, so again, so as it relates to being Another halacha is, and this is really the topic of the beginning of the daf, is that when you go ahead and you sell a steyachuza and you now want to be poided, the Torah says for the first 2 years after you sell it, you're not allowed to be poided. So it's exeris hakasa, and it says that if you sell it, at the very least, the buyer has to be allowed to have it for 2 years. But after 2 years, it's only then that you have a right to redeem it. So the bottom line is, last week we spoke about being makdish a steyachuza. This week we're talking about selling a steyachuza. They're similar in the sense that it goes up until yovel. Stating that, there's a few very important differences, and I think it's kedai to go through them. Number one, when you makdish steyachuza, the hekdish is only chal up until yovel. What happens when yovel comes? It leaves the rishus of hekdish. Where does it go? To the kohanim. If you sell a steyachuza when yovel comes, what happens? It doesn't go to the kohanim. It returns to sender. It goes back to the person that sold it. That's the first nafkamina. The second nafkamina is that if you want to be poida a steyachuza after you amakdish it, you have to work with the formula. It's 50 shekel b'shekel hakodesh for a 49-year period, which means that every year's value from a pinyan standpoint is a shekel and a pundin. As it relates to selling a steyachuza, if you want to be poida it, you don't do it based on this objective formula, but rather you figure out how much the field was worth, how much it was paid for, how much each year's value is, and that's how you determine how much you're going to be paid for. Another halacha is that when it comes to be makdish te'achuza, there's no shtei shanim. There's no halacha that I could only be paid after it was already hakdish for 2 years. That's a specific halacha as it relates to being moicher te'achuza. There's some other nafkiminas as well, as we're going to see. Just one other point, and that is that in addition to the chayshem mishpat, so to speak, component of being moicher te'achuza, there's an issa v'hetter component as well, and that is the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Reish Chav Zayin says, he shehiziranu shaloi limkar achuz aseinu b'eretz Yisrael mechir kayemes. There's a lois asei in the Torah, you're not allowed to sell a field, a stay achuzah forever. V'amrei v'ha'aretz lois simachar l'tzmissos. The Chinuch brings it as well, in Mitzvah Shin Lamites. So you have the Chinuch and Mitzvah Shin Lamites, and the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Reish Chav Zayin, that both say that it's aser to sell a stay achuzah forever. What does it mean, forever? Meaning, sell it in a way where Yovel isn't going to interrupt it. The point is that not only do you have now the financial considerations every time you sell a steyachuza, but you're getting involved in one of the Tayyak mitzvahs as well. According to Rambam, it's a loisase, it's a lav sheyesh by maisa. You're not allowed to sell a field where you're selling it litzmisas. The Rambam in Hilchas Shmita of Yovel says even a vikach chiddush, and that is that even if you're going to sell it in a way where it's going to go back by Yovel, even then, says the Rambam, you should be very sensitive. Unless the person's at a point where he absolutely needs the money. And then afterwards, it says, but let's say somebody decides he wants to sell a steyachuza, because he wants to be liquid, he wants cash. Or he wants to do business with the money. You're not allowed to. So says the Rambam, then not only is it awesome, to go ahead and sell a field with smisos, where it's going to violate the laws of Yovel. But the Rambam says that even if you're going to do it in the proper way, I'm selling it to you the way the Torah lays it out. That was talking to a desperate man, a person that was literally at a last resort. He needs money simply to put food on his table. That person's allowed to sell a steyachuza, but ordinarily it's also to sell a steyachuza. How did the Rambam know that? That's not mefurish in the Torah. The Rambam doesn't list that in his Sefer HaMitzvahs. That at first glance is not an issa deraisa. The Rambam sword in a pasuk. What's the makar to that? So that already we'll see, because the Mishnah says it's based on a gemara that we're going to learn later in the daf. Just one other thing, if you think about it from a lumdus standpoint, and that is, so when somebody sells a field, the field is not sold forever. It goes back, which means if you think about it from a legal standpoint, so if you were a lawyer and you had to draft this in legal terms, so really what's happening is I'm not really selling the field, because the field is going to come back to me. What I'm doing is I'm leasing the field. And you have the rights and anything that grows in this field for a certain period of time. But from the karka's perspective, I'm not really selling it to you, because what I'm selling it to you, it's going to go back. L'chura, the definition of the transaction is that I never really sold you the field. The definition is that you have a long-term lease, or a short-term lease, depending on how much time there is between now and Yovel. But what would seem to be happening is that the buyer isn't buying the field, he's leasing the field. which means in Gemara terminology, he has a schus in the payrois that come from the field. Right? That's usually the way we look at something like this. If that's the case, that luchura, how is it possible if somebody buys a field, a steyachuza, there's a halacha that he could be makdishit, right? That was last week's staff. You could be makdish a steyachuza, or you could be makdish a stey mikna. What's a stey mikna? That's a field that I bought. I'm going to go ahead and be makdishit. Luchura, if all I have in it is the payrois that are going to grow from the field, all I have is a kinyan payrois. So shouldn't it be tali in whether kinyan payrois ke kinyan aguf or kinyan payrois live ke kinyan aduf? If kinyan payrois is ke kinyan aguf, so I have a real kinyan in the field. If I have a kinyan in the field, I have something to be makdish. But if you hold kinyan payrois live ke kinyan aguf, tell me, then luchura, what do I have to be makdish? Stavni blooms, kash and simit sadik. Of course, the machloikis kinyan payrois ke kinyan aguf, live ke kinyan aguf is one of the biggest machloikis in the chas. Notably, when you learn Seyden Ezekin and Seyden Noshim, it's Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, comes into the sugyas of Baal Shem Machrim and Nechsem Alug. Right, a Baal has a kinyan payrus and the Nechsem Alug of his wife. But either way, Vadvarim Atikin, Ayin Shem, just one aura. Regardless, on that note, so yesterday's daf really ended with a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. That is, what happens if somebody sells a stey achuza during the Yovel year? So till now, we're talking about where you're selling it. During years 1 through 49, Yovel comes, it unwinds the transaction. What happens if somebody sells it during the Yovel year as well? So the halacha is, Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said, the mecher is a mecher. Shmuel said, the mecher is not a mecher. Now even Rav that says, the mecher is a mecher, he acknowledges that as soon as the mecher goes into effect, it gets unwound. So the main nafkimina that it's a mecher. Well, nafkimina is the mecher gets to keep the money. According to Shmuel, this is like a mekachtois. There's no mecher at all. Nothing is going to be a chal. Shmuel learned it from a kal v'chaymer. The Gemara asked the kasha, how could Rav not hold the kal v'chaymer? The Gemara answered it either way. On that note, the Gemara asks the kasha, Meisvei, achar hayoivol, shonim tikne, says the Braiso. We learn from him, alamit shemeichem, samuch liyoivol, that you're allowed to sell a field, samuch liyoivol, muflik mena yoivol menayim. How do you know that you're also allowed to sell a field many years after yoivol? From achar, from that word, you would only know that you're allowed to sell it after yoivol, but samuch liyoivol. How do you know even muflik? It's a long time afterwards. And this is based on an idea that wherever it says in the Torah the word achar, it means samuch. Wherever it says acharei, it always means muflik. So the kasha is, if it says achra yevel shonim, maybe it's only samach yevel. How do you know muflik? Talmud Omer, it says lefi roiv hashonim ulefi moit hashonim. When the pasuk goes on to describe the pidyon, I sold the stey achuza during yevel, I want to be paid in now. So depending on how many years are remaining, so are there few years remaining or are there many years remaining? If it's possible to sell a field with a few years remaining, that means I could sell it even acharei, even as man muflik, says the price, and this is the punchline. Ubishnasa yevel las malayim. Okay, now let us sell during yovel. The macher, and if you sold it during yovel, ain't a mechura. It's a kash on Rav. Rav says that if somebody sells a field during yovel, the mecher is chal. Isn't it a mefurish price that it's not chal? And even though Rav is a tana who upalik, Rav's the one on meir in shas. That's allowed to argue with a tana, but that's of course always a b'diavad. That's why the Gemara will always ask kashas on Rav from a Mishnah and from a price. What do you mean? Don't just say Rav is going to argue. The Gemara will never ask a kasha on Rav Shimon bar Yochai from Rav Yehuda. Shemechai is a Tana. He's a Tana Upalik, literally. But Rav, even though he's a Tana Upalik, but he's an Amoira. So therefore, it's always a B'diyev. Regardless, we have a Kasha. Rav said that if somebody sells B'shansa Yoivol, in the Yoivol year itself, the Mecher is Chal. Here it says, B'shansa Yoivol or Yimkar, the Macher ain't a Mechura. I'm like, Rav is going to tell you, ain't a Mechura, the Mispa Shnei Tfuois, Ava Mechura Hibi Yoitza. What it means to say is that one of the details of being Mecher Steyachuza is not going to be in effect if you sold it in the Yoivol year. It's which detail? That Lacha, that for 2 years, you can't be paid there. Obviously, that's not going to be in effect over here because the second the mecher is chal, it's immediately going to be unwound. So you're not going to have this halacha of mispash nei tfuos where the lekech gets to keep it for 2 years. So one of the very prominent details of the laws of mecher steyachuza is for 2 years I keep it. Obviously, not in this case. Break the Gemara, but why? Why is that so poshut? V'iz devune mizdavno tekim shuzi ad baso yoivol. Why don't we say that if Rav holds the mecher is chal, so let it be chal. Let the loikeach keep it. The buyer should keep it through yovel. Not just that. Ubasu yovel nechla shnei tfuos. Let him have it 2 years even after yovel. V'nehatra, and let it be unwound then. Milei tanya. Don't we have precedence from this from a braisa? Ach l'shan achas lefnei yovel. What if somebody sells a field 1 year before yovel? So you know what halacha is? Oh, yovel comes, it unwinds it. No, that's actually not halacha. Mashlimim loishan acheres achayev. It's very interesting halacha. So you would think, what do you mean? Yovel terminates it. No. He gets to keep it the 1 year before Yovel, that's for sure. And then he gets it the year after Yovel, so that even though Yovel terminated it, but it doesn't override the schus that every buyer has when he buys a steachus that he gets to keep it for 2 years. Again, it's svara, it seems like a very big chiddush, but that's the halacha. So this idea that the lekeach keeps it for 2 years is so powerful that it's doicha yoivel. Now, it's not doicha yoivel in the absolute sense. Yoivel is going to terminate the transaction, but I get to keep it for my 2 years. I'll get 1 year before yoivel, 1 year after yoivel, and then yoivel will go into effect, so to speak, a year after yoivel. But the bottom line is, why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we say that according to Rav, you makdish it during yoivel, so l'chura, I should be able to have it for the 2 years after yoivel. Zokti gemara, hasa nachas achila, hagalei nachas achila. No, it's different. Over there, he had it already 1 year before yoivel. He ate already a year before yoivel. Here, you makdish it in yoivel. So when you were nachas achila, you started eating it a little bit before yoivel. So then you get to be mashlim it after yoivel. In this case, where you didn't start eating before yoivel, over here you're not going to be mashlim it after yoivel. Either way, what the Gemara is saying is that even though Rav holds that the mecher is chal if you sell it during yoivel, but it's going to be a little different than ordinarily. Because usually the halacha is like, always gets to keep it for 2 years. If somebody sells a steachus during yoivel, he's not going to keep it for 2 years. What was Shmuel's shita? Shmuel argued with Rav. Shmuel said if somebody sells a steachus during Yoivel, the mecher is not a mecher. On that note, talk to Gemara. Omer Rav Anan. Rav Anan said, "Shami minid mar Shmuel tarti." I heard from the Rebbe Shmuel. I heard from my Rebbe Shmuel. Rav Anan was a Talmud of Shmuel. So he said, "I heard from Mar Shmuel two things." Chodahach. I heard this halach. I heard that if somebody sells a steachuza bishnas hayoivel, the halach is the mecher is not chal. V'idoch. And I heard another halach. Moicher Abdi Levi Chavim. Oh, chutz loyti also lecher. Somebody sells an Eved Kanani to a non-Jew, or if he sells an Eved Kanani to a Jew, but who a Jew that lives in Chutz Laaretz, that loch is Yotzal Lecheiros. Why? Why is it good Lecheiros? So, because an Eved Kanani, even though he's a non-Jew, but the Rambam's Lashon is, he's a Yisrael B'miktsas. As a shtick of Ayit, that's why he's Chayiv in Mitzvois B'miktsas. Lo Ishi is chayiv in any mitzvah that a woman is chayiv. So if you're going to sell this Eved Kanani now, who has no freedoms, he has no say in who he's sold to a non-Jew, how's he going to do mitzvahs? How's he going to keep Shabbos? How's he going to get three kosher meals? He's not. And as a result, you're chepping with his ruchnius, therefore the halacha is yoytzel lecheiros. Not just that, if you sell him to a yid that's living in Chutz Laaretz, you have the same halacha. Why Chutz Laaretz? He's selling him to a yid. He's selling him to a Haimish Mishpacha. What should be the problem? Yeah, but you're taking him out of Eretz Yisrael and you're sending him to Chutz Laaretz. This is the theme of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But regardless, so Rav Anan said that I heard from Shmuel two things. I heard from Shmuel that if somebody sells a stay achuza during the Yoivel year, it's not a mecher. I also heard from Shmuel that if somebody sells an Eved Kanani, either to a non-Jew or to a Yid living in Chutz Laaretz, is Yotzal Lecheiros. One of them, Chada Hadri Zvini, I heard Shmuel say that the halach is that the buyer gets his money back. V'chada Lehadri Zvini, and the other one he said that the buyer does not get his money back. I mean, I don't know which one. Meaning, in both cases, there's an issue with the mecher. Once Shmuel said money back, and Shmuel said, I just can't remember. I remember hearing two shiurim from Shmuel. Once he said money back, the other one he says, no, the mecher gets to keep his money. I'm Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, let's do the math. Nechsiyana. Midetanya bebrais. So the brais says as follows. Mach, Abdul Chos, if somebody sells an evetuch, a yid in chutzor, yotzal lecheiros, v'tzorich get shechor, Rabbi Chen. I mean, who has to give him the get shechor? So he's yotzal lecheiros. So when you sell to a non-Jew, okay, but here you sell it to a yid. So who should give him the get shechor? Should the original master give him the get shechur, or maybe the yid that's living in Chutz Laaretz that bought the eved? So the Brisa says it's a Tosefta. Hamoicher Rabbi l'Chutz Laaretz yotzal lecheiros v'tzorach get shechur mirabbi sheni, the second master. So what do you see from here? Shemami no medikardli the sheni rabbi amalei hadrosvini. You see, he's the rabbi. If he gets his money back and the transaction is unwound, it's not a mekach. Then how could the rabbi sheni be the one that's giving the get shechur? He doesn't own anything. There's nothing happened. Elamai, the mecher was chal. Therefore, he is now the rabbi sheni. He's the one that has to give the get shechur. Must be the chikama Shmuel. Hacha ena mechura umayis chesh. Must be that when Shmuel said that the money does go back, he was referring to the case where somebody sold the bishnas hayoyvel. Says the gemara of Rav Anan. So had Rav Anan not know that? Isn't it a mefurish abraisa? Meaning it's a mefurish abraisa lechur at first glance that says that when you sell an Eved to a Yid living in Chutz Laaretz, the Rabbi Sheni is the one that has the right to get Shechur. So if the Rabbi Sheni is the one that has the right to get Shechur, obviously the Mecher was Chal. If the mecha was chal, that means l'chayra, the mecha keeps the money. So if the mecha keeps the money, then must be, it's our sugi where the mecha doesn't keep the money. So the Gemara says, Ravana Brisa Lishmi, he didn't know this Brisa. You're right, had he known this Brisa, then he would have been able to make the same inference. He just didn't know the Brisa. Additionally, from Shmuel itself, Ravana also didn't think it was muchach. With the Shmuel, because from Shmuel itself, even though Shmuel said that the mecha is not chal, but he felt it's not muchach that the mecher is not chal. Why? Maybe the mecher really is chal, and the money is considered a matana. Meaning, what's the other tzad the Gemara is bothered with? Like, Ravanan had a tzad that if you sell the shnasa, you're able, the mecher is not chal, but you don't get the money back. I mean, if the mecher is not chal, then you should get the money back. So the Gemara says there's precedence for this, is something Shmuel said, and this was all part of the insecurity that Rav Anan had in where Shmuel said the money goes back and where Shmuel said the money doesn't go back. He said, because I know Shmuel said that itmar mekadosh achoisai, if someone's mekadosh his sister, so obviously the kedushin is not chal. The question is, what happens to the kesef kedushin? Rav amamoyis chayzer. Rav says, yeah, if there's no kedushin, you get your money back. For Shmuel amamoyis matana, no, because the person knew that you can't be mekadosh achoisai, and this was just a way for him to give her a gift. But the bottom line is, you see from Shmuel this concept that if somebody does something that he knows can't really go into effect, the way we look at it is ma'is matana. So if that's the case, maybe Ravana thought, even though the mecher is not chal b'shnas ha'yoyvo, but maybe the ma'is should still be matana. The bottom line is, Ravana heard a halacha from Shmuel with regards to mecher abdul chutzlaritz, another halacha with regards to someone who sells a stay achuza b'shnas ha'yoyvo. One time, both transactions have issues. One time, money goes back, the other time, money doesn't go back. He wasn't sure. L'maisa, the Gemara said, it's not so shver, because really, it's a mufurish b'raisa. So A, Rav Anan didn't know the Braisa, and the Gemara explains why Rav Anan had studim lekan o lekan. Bottom line, says the Gemara, I'm only a bailer Rav Yosef, but if I told Rav Yosef, my choses de kansinan le lelekeach, nikta se lemoicha. In the case where somebody sold his Eved Knani to another Yid, so there's two Jews. One's living in Eitzrol, the other's living in Chutzlar, so one Eitzrol sells his slave to the one that's living in Chutzlar. So the halacha is, the way the Gemara just explained it, that the mecher's cha, the seller gets to keep the money, and the buyer has to free the slave. So essentially, the buyer is the one that had a very bad day because he just bought something, he can't keep it, and he doesn't get his money back. So the knas, the emphasis, the punchline of the knas is clearly geared towards the buyer, not towards the seller. So Abaye told Rav Yosef, "Mechatesi, my chos is the consina lei lekeach, niknesei lemoicha." I mean, the lekeach shouldn't have bought this slave. The seller shouldn't have sold the slave. I mean, they both have an obligation to keep Torah mitzvahs. They both should be looking out for the ruchnius of this Eved Kanani. Why are we punishing the lekeach more than the moicher? Amalei, he told him, "Lav achbar ganav elachayra ganav." When a mouse steals something and he hides it in his hole, so who's the ganav? Is the mouse the ganav, or is the chur, is the hole the ganav? So I think, I mean, you could argue the mouse is the ganav, right? Mar says, no, it's the chayr is the ganav. So if the chayr is the ganav, lekeach is the chayr. He's the proverbial hole in the wall, and he's the one that has the cheese right now, right? It's in his hole, and as a result, he's the one that gets the knas. But the Gemara says, yeah, and how do you know? You lav achbar uchayr minoli, right? There's a chicken and an egg, or the mouse and the... So the Gemara says, how do you know which way to go? So the Gemara says, b'stabra heichad isser l'isser kansin. At the end of the day, that's where the isser is. Lekeach has the eved. That's where we're going to gear the knas. Meaning, the maskana, the Gemara seems to be saying, I can hear it both ways. I can hear it's the mouse. I can hear it's the hole in the wall. I hear it's the chicken. I can hear it's the egg. But, tachlis, right now, where is it? It's in the hole. That's where the thing that was stolen was. Who has the Eved? The Rabbi Sheni has it. As a result, he's the one that's going to get the Knas. And the Mishnah said that if somebody sells a Stei Achuzah, so there's Arachah there for 2 years, you're not allowed to be Poyter. What happens if one of the 2 years was a shnas shidofin or yirakin, where three things didn't grow? So Arachah, they don't count. Or if it was a Shemitah, Shemitah doesn't count either. What happens if it was a year where technically, agriculturally, things could have grown, but this person decided that he wants to keep it nara, he wants to keep it fallow for a year. Or he plowed it a little bit, but nothing really grew. So the halacha is that even though nothing grew, it still counts. Meaning the pasuk says, the mispar shnei tfuos yimachala, which is the makar from where we learn that it has to be sold for 2 years. Shnei tfuos. So the question is, over here, when there was no tefuah, so what's the halacha? So it depends. If there's no tefuah, because you decided on your own that there shouldn't be tefuah,
We don't care about your personal cheshbonos. If there was no tefuah because it was an act of God, something happened, it was a shitafa in a yerok, it was shmita, you're not allowed to have tefuah. So then the halach is that year doesn't count. But the Gemara says, it said, nara, if he plowed it, or hayvira, he left it fallow. Hashta hayvira, oiloloi, narmi, by madach, if he left it fallow, it still counts. Certainly if he plowed it, it should count. So the Gemara says, nara, it's trichle. There's a chiddush in nara. So good, I think, man, I would have thought I'm really havli dmei velesik, kamash malon. Meaning, the chiddush of nara is not that it doesn't count. The chiddush of nara is that what happens if I sold a field to you, you have it for 2 years, nothing grew, because you were busy plowing, you were working the field. You wanted, you're prepping it for the following year. So the halacha is that I redeem it based on the pro rata value of the field, like we spoke about in the introduction. Do I have to reimburse you now for the money that you put into plowing the field? I'm going to benefit from it. The halacha is no. And that's the point. The point is that if you were nara, the halacha is I can redeem it. The chiddush is not that I can redeem it. The chiddush is that I can redeem it in the same way I would redeem it had you not been nara, meaning I don't have to make you whole for your expenses. We are you and nara. Rebbeleza said that it's possible sometimes, that was the last line of the Mishnah, it's possible sometimes for a person to buy it and be guaranteed not 2 years of tefuah, 3 years of tefuah. I mean, it says in the Torah, B'shei tefuah, you have to guarantee him 2 years. How would it be possible 3 years? If you sold it during the Shnas tefuah, so when you sold it, it was already tefuah, now it's 2 years, me'es le'es, right? It works me'es le'es, 24 months after you bought it, so there's going to be an additional two shnei tefuahs. So even though it says two, it's possible you're going to end up with three. If you sold it before the beginning of the year, full of peiros, meaning maybe the seller could tell the buyer, I gave it to you with peiros, I gave it to you with a full tank of gas, you have to return it with a full tank of gas, right? A modern day mashal. Talmud loymar, but mispren shnei tefuahs yimkolach, you get it with a full tank of gas. Don't try this at home. And you return it with, Pabim, Shadam Eichel Shalish Tfuis, Bishtei Shonim. Either way, Zok the Gemara Viter. Nachra, the Rishayim Bemano. If somebody sold a Steyachuza, and he sold it for a mana is 100 zuz. Umacha Rishayim L'Shedi B'Masayim. And then the person that bought it sold it again. He flipped it. And he sold it to somebody else for a nice profit. He sold it for 200 zuz. Made 100% on his investment. So he bought it for 100 zuz, and now he sold it for 200 zuz. So the halacha is, Einoi Mechashev. When the original seller, the one who steyachuz it is, if he decides that he wants to redeem it, so now he's not going to his meicher anymore, I mean, to his lekech, he's going to the lekech sheni, the person that bought it, from the flippy, right? The person that bought it from the person that had flipped it to him. So the halacha is, Einei mechashev ela marishay. So he makes the cheshbin based on how much he sold it to the rishay. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Veheshev es ha'oidev le'ish ha'shamachalai. So the Mishnah only mentions part of the pasuk. The full pasuk is, Veheshev es ha'oidev le'ish ha'shamachalai. Meaning the point is like this. We said that the redemption value of a steyachuza is based on how much I sold it for. So if I sold it for X, for Y amount of years, Z is going to be now the pro rata cheshbon of how much I have to pay when I want to go ahead and redeem it. What if it was sold twice? So I sold it for $100, and then that person sold it for $200. So the person that has the field now, he paid a lot more than what I had sold it for. He paid 200 zuz, I sold it for 100 zuz. Meaning he paid twice the amount per year than I sold it for. So when I go now to redeem it, do I redeem it based on what I sold it for? Or based on what that person bought it for? What's the pro rata value? Is it the $100 a year that I sold it for? Or is it the $200 that he bought it for? That's the question. Says the Mishnah, it's a pasuk. Veheshev es ha'oidei flo ish ha'shemachaloi. So we'd say, ish ha'shemachaloi, we look at it from the standpoint of the original person that I sold it to, right? We're talking about the goyel. So who did I sell it to? I sold it to Reuven. How much did I sell it to him for? 100 zuz. I don't care that he now sold it to Shimon for 200 zuz. Machar the Rishon Masai. What happens if it's in the reverse case? If you sold it to someone for 200 zuz, Machar Rishon L'Sheni B'mana, then he flipped it, but he lost money. He only made 100 manas. He lost 100 manas. Halacha is Einam Mechashev Elam Achren. Then when you come to redeem it, you redeem it based on the cheaper price. Shenema, the same exact pasuk. V'chishev es shnei mimkaroi, v'heshev es ha'oidev lo'ish. What does lo'ish mean? Lish ha'shevetoichai. We make the cheshbon based on how much the person had it. The person that's living in the field now paid for it. Now, at first glance, the Mishnah is obviously contradicting itself in Svara, because you see that on the one hand, you would go based on how much I sold it for. And then on the other hand, you base it on how much the person living there now bought it for. And they're really both based on psukim. One pasuk seems to suggest that you go based on the original mechira. The other pasuk seems to suggest you go based on the value that the person that's living there now paid for it. And the way we reconcile the two psukim is that we go lekula for the meicher. So whatever's going to be cheaper for the meicher to be poida, that's how we're going to win. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, how do you know to reconcile the two psukim by always going lekula? Maybe the way to do it is to reconcile the two psukim by always going lechum. What if somebody sells a field and he wants to be poida the field? Now he doesn't have money, but he has another field. So he decides, I have a field that's far away. You know, what do I need this? It's away. It's hard for me to manage it. Let me sell that. I'll take the money and I'll redeem the field that I sold. You're not allowed to do that. You can't sell some field that you have far away from where you live to be paid to the field that's closer to where you live. You can't sell an inferior piece of property to be able to redeem this one, which is a better piece of property. You can't borrow money to redeem. You have to have the money. To borrow money to redeem it is also something you're not allowed to do. What about a mortgage? Additionally, you're not allowed to redeem it. Either you redeem all of it or you redeem none of it. The Gemara is going to bring Makarios for this. These halachas are only true if you're coming to redeem a stei achuzah that you sold. If you're coming to redeem hektish, let's say a stei achuzah that you were makdish, these halachas are not true. And this is one of the ironic cases where it comes out hedyid is actually more chomer than hektish. Either way, so the halacha is that if somebody sells a field, then the field was sold a second time, right? So the question is, it was originally sold for one price, and then it was sold the second time for another price. If I come now to be poided from the second buyer, the one that's living there right now, how do I determine how much I have to pay for it? Do I do it based on the original price, based on the second price? And the Mishnah said, you always go lekula to the meicher. So if the original price was lower, then the redemption price is going to be the lower price. If the second price was lower, meaning it was originally sold for 200 zuz and then it was sold for 100 zuz, then you're going to do it based on the second price. The Gemara brings a brisa that expounds on this, brings another shita. So the first meicher sold it for a mana, the second one sold it for masayim. How do you know that you go based on the cheaper price? What if it originally was sold for 200 and it was sold for 100? How do you know you only go with the second one? That's our Mishnah, it's the Snam Mishnah, it's also read. Reb Tzai ben Yehuda said a little differently. What happens if somebody sells a field? It wasn't sold the second time in this case, but rather just went up in value. It was sold for a mana, and it was mashbiach. It appreciated in value. And now it's worth 200. How do you know that the redemption is based on the original mana, the original purchase price? When you make the cheshbon, so the lekech is going to give the meicher back the field, and the meicher is going to give the lekech back the money. They said that's the oidev. The oidev to change the balance of the original purchase price. So you see, you go based on the original purchase price. What happens if it was in the reverse? You sold it for 200, and then it depreciated a value, not appreciated, depreciated. For amdash mana, and now it's only worth the money. How do you know that you go based on the lower value? From the standpoint of the lekeach, oidev shebekarka. He does the oidev, the balance of the property as he has it right now. You look at the depreciated value, says the Gemara. In other words, Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda said a similar halacha to Rebbe. Very similar halacha. Similar in the sense that you always go lekula to the meicher, but they were saying two different things. Rebbe was talking about where it was sold twice. Once it was sold for more, once it was sold for less. And the question is, do you set the redemption price based on the higher or the lower? Rav Dishtoy ben Yehuda was discussing where it was only sold once, but there were two values because it either went up in value or went down in value. They both say the same thing, that you always go the kula. It says the word, my benayu. What's the nafgamina between the two pshatim? So the Gemara says, the yakar, vizo, the yakar. The way Rashi explains it, the nafgamina would be where it was sold for 200, then it went down to 100, and it was sold for 100, and then it went back up in price to 200. So the price fluctuated. It was sold for 200. And then the person that had bought it, Lekeach Rishon, sold it for 100. And then in the Rishus of the Lekeach Sheni, it went back up to 200. According to Rebbe, once it was sold for 100, that's going to now lower the redemption price. If I want to be goyal, I can be goyal based on I sold it for 200. Yeah, but it was sold for 100. According to Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda, you don't care about the shas mechers. What you care about is, did it appreciate or depreciate? And the two snapshots that you're going to take of this property to determine what its value might be is going to be the time that you sold it and the time that you're coming to redeem it. When you sold it, it was worth 200. When you're coming to redeem it, it was worth 200. So you're going to have to pay 200. According to Rebbe, you look at the Shas Mechiros. According to Rebbe Slave Ben Yehuda, you look at the lesser of the time that you sold it or the time that you're coming to redeem it. So being that both times was 200, according to Rebbe Slave Ben Yehuda, you're going to pay 200. But being that there was a Mechir in between for 100, so you had another Mechira, oh, so you look at the lesser of the two Mechiros. The lesser of the two Mechiros is going to be 100. Tell you, says another Nafkamina would be, is if it was never sold. According to Rebbe, if you sold it for 200, then it went down to 100. According to Rebbe, it's going to be 200. There was only one Mechira. According to Rebbe Slav Ben Yehuda, well, right now, you look at the lesser of the Shas Mechira, the Shas Pidyon, the time of the Pidyon is only worth 100, so it's going to be 100. But the Gemara asked the obvious question. Really, Rebbe had a steer between two psukim. He reconciled it, l'kula for the Meicha. Rebbe Slav Ben Yehuda had a steer between two psukim. He did the same thing. Like the Gemara, Mehecha Tesi, Umimai, the Lekula, the Melechumra. How do you know to reconcile the Kula? Maybe reconcile the Chumra. So the Gemara says, you know why? The Gemara, Gu'ula, Gu'ula, may Evidivri. This is Exer Shava, Gu'ula, Gu'ula from Evidivri. The Torah talks about redeeming a Steachus. The Torah also talks about redeeming an Evidivri. So we know what an Evidivri is. He works for 6 years, Yoivel, Nirtza. If an Eved Ivri somehow finds the money, or one of his family members has the money to redeem him away from his master, so there's halachos of being goyel, of being poida, an Eved Ivri. It says gula here, it says gula there. Thus, we have gzeir shava between the two parashas, and just like by the Eved Ivri, you always go lekula for the Eved Ivri. So to here, you go lekula for the Eved Ivri. But the one says v'hasaminal. How do you know by the Eved Ivri you go lekula? How do we learn to the Brayso? So nimka b'manav eshbiach b'manav asayim. What happens if an Eved Ivri was sold to a non-Jew? This is what this Ikra Brayso is talking about. And then he went up in value. He's worth 200. So it's b'nayin she'im b'manav. How do you know that you set the price on the lower? Shenemar mikesef miknasay. We look at the original purchase price. Nimka b'manav eshbiach. How do you know if it was sold for 200 then it went down? How do you know you go not based on the purchase price, but based on the lesser price? Shenemar, it says v'chishav loy kefi shanav. You look at where he's holding right now. Okay. Those psukim are talking about an evidivri that was sold to a non-Jew. Evidivri that was sold to a non-Jew, but there's also halachos in the Torah of how you treat and deal with that evidivri. So there the Torah mentions that it's Yodai Al Yoina for the Eved Ivri. Nimkali Shom Min Ayin. How do you know if he was sold to a Yid? And it's far, it makes sense, right? You want to redeem him from the non-Jew for as you want to get him out, right? Madach, we don't want to sell an Eved Kanani to a non-Jew. So certainly you don't want to sell an Eved Ivri to a non-Jew. So it makes sense that we'd be lenient in terms of setting the price of how much it's going to cost to redeem it. But maybe if you sold him to a Yid, it's different. No. Talmud Loi Masachar. Sachar L'Gzereshah. It says the word Sachar in the context of an Eved Ivri who was sold to a non-Jew. It says the word Sachar in the context of an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Jew. Sachar, Sachar. Just like there you go to Kula for the Eved Ivri here too, you go to Kula for the Eved Ivri as well. Either way, so the Gemara says that you see that you go to Kula for the Eved Ivri, and it says Geula by Pinyan Eved Ivri. So too, Gzereshava, it says Geula. By Stei Achuzah, you go to Kula when it comes to the Stei Achuzah as well. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Hareini ki ben Azai b'shukei Tveria. I feel like Ben Azai today. The way Ben Azai used to feel in Shukei Tveria, Rashi says that Ben Azai lived in Tveria, and he used to go to the Shuk of Tveria, and he would say that if anybody wants to ask me any kasha in the world, I'm ready to answer the kasha. And Abaya said that there was one day a year that I used to feel like Ben Azai, and he would say that occasionally. Hareini ki Ben Azai b'shukei Tveria. In other words, the punchline was somebody wants to ask me a question. Right, like Ilfa, somebody wants to ask me a question. Come and ask me a question. Says the Gemara. So one of the rabbanim came and he told Abaya that I don't understand. How do you know by Eved Ivri that you always go lekula for the paida? The same question we had when as it relates to being paida the Stei Achuzah. Ikla midrashinu lekula, ikla midrashinu lechumra. Ma'ida lekula, ayna lechumra. So Abai told him a very geshmaki Gemara. He said, lois olka daitach. Midahakur rachmana gabi. It's pashit by the Eved Ivri we go lekula. You know why? Because the whole theme, the whole spirit of the laws of Eved Ivri is we're makel for the Eved Ivri. Tanya, we're learning to the Braisa. It says, ki toiv loy imach. Regarding the Eved Ivri, you know what we learn from there? Imach b'maychov imach b'mishta. If you have an Eved Ivri living in your house, you have to treat him imach. He has to be adopted. He has to be a member of the family. He eats with you. He drinks with you. And the price is specific. You can't be eating good bread and he's eating stale bread. After Shoyset Yayin Yoshan, you're drinking aged wines. Fu Shoyset Yayin Chadosh. After Yoshan Agabe Mucha, you're sleeping on a bed. If someone's but the bottom line is, you see that this Evid Ivri is given so many kulois. Kitoiv Leimach. So Kitoiv Leimach, Abaye said this is consistent with the whole spirit of Evid Ivri. It's Pasha then. If you have a Shaila to go, look kula for the Adoim. Or to go Lakula for the Eved Ivri, we're going to go Lakula for the Eved Ivri. But the Gemara says, Adarabba. I hear. But the Gemara says, Adarabba. Nachmer Aleh, with Rabbi Yisrael Bechanina. I can find you precedents in the parish of Eved Ivri, where we're very tough on the Eved Ivri, where we actually go Lakula for the Eved Ivri. Take a look at how chomer Avak Ribbis is. Avak Ribbis. We spoke recently about Avak Lashon Hara. Avak Lashon Hara means it's not the real thing, but it's, right, it's a Shmekt fin Lashon Hara. It's related to it. Some of the examples are, you shouldn't say that, oh, that person always has the grill going because they're always eating, right? Or you shouldn't be mesaper b'shvach l'shechaveiru, shemitoich shvach hayat d'boli d'eknusay. So there's a concept where it's not real shmita, but it's avak shmita. Zom Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, take a look at how chomer avak shvias is. And what Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is about to do is he's about to give us an outline of the second part of Parshas Bahar. So we keep on talking about the end of Parshas B'chukosai. We mentioned briefly the end of Parashat Bahar in the intro, and Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is really going to go from a super high level and take you through parasha after parasha, and that's the Parashat Bahar starts with Shemitah, right? And then he's going to take you through the end of the parasha. And really, at first glance, it's a little random in terms of the halachas the Torah mentions. And Rabbi Yisrael Chanina came with a whole drush of the smichos between all these parashas. He says, Parashat Bahar starts with Shemitah. Adam, noisim, noisim, parash, shvias. You know what happens if a person does business with shvias? Which is only avak shvias, because the real shvias is to work the field. If someone does business with shvias, let's say if meiches metaltala, next thing you know, he's going to sell his metal shenema, the next parish in the Torah. B'shnas ha'yevel ha'zois, toshuvu isha l'chuzasai, v'ksiv ki simchar mimchal ha'mizecho gan b'yad ha'mizecho, dovar nikta miyad miyad. We're talking about selling something, that's the next parish, and it says, konoy miyad, dovar ha'nikna miyad liyad, which is not karka. Karka is not something that you can move. It's obviously metaltal. Lo yirgish, a person doesn't do tshuva. V'soif meichas adoysav, he's going to end up selling his fields. Shenem v'chiyam v'chichicho machar machuzasa. So if a person does business with shvias, the hashgach is going to fear that he's going to end up selling his metaltal. If he still doesn't do tshuva for doing business with peir shvias, he's going to end up being forced to sell his stay achuz. Like basli yadai. Eventually, like l'soif meichres beisai. He's going to end up selling his house. Shenemar v'ishki yimker beis moishav irchayma. He's going to sell his metalton, then he's going to sell his stay achuzah, then he's going to sell his house, which is even worse. The Gemara says ma'ishna hasam to come alay hirgish. Right? It said loy hirgish. If he didn't have a hira tshuva after he sold his metalton, he's going to end up selling his field. And then it says, Maishna Hacha to come out loy bas liyade. Right, it's the same thing, but we're changing lashonos. So this is a person who's going down the slippery slope right now. He's spiraling out of control. He did an avera, and he's not doing tshuva, and he's going into a bad place, and his life is slowly starting to unravel in front of his eyes. So loy hirgish, if he didn't chap, he's gonna end up falling even lower. Loy bas liyade, he didn't chap. Same thing. They both mean he didn't chap. So how come one place it says like hirgish and the other place it says like basli yadai? So the Gemara says to the Rav Huna, "Tam Rav Huna, Rav Huna, it's like give Shadam Avera v'shana b'hutrulei." When a person does an Avera and then he does it again, it becomes mutter. Really? Hutrulei sol kadaitach? No. Aleim and Nasas like doesn't really become mutter, right? Nasas like Keter. We saw Salanta used to say, and then when you do it the next time, it becomes even a mitzvah. But the point, anything you're doing a mitzvah already, right? But it starts off, you understand it's an Avera at some point. No, it's not so like a head there, and then already you think you're being frunk. But the bottom line is, so what Rabbi Yisrael, but not Rabbi Yisrael said, so says the Gemara, that's the diak over here. Loi hirgish, initially, he was loi hirgish, he didn't have the hira tshuva. Eventually, it's loi bas li yadai, Rashi says, mashma shalayal al liba ishei oise shum aveir. The loi bas li yadai is being more that sensation, that hirgish, that you're at a point where you're so callous to what you're doing, you don't even realize you're doing something wrong. The bottom line is, it says the Gemara, loy bas liyadai, they skip the parentheses. Actually, if a person still doesn't chap, you know what's going to end up happening? He's going to end up selling his daughter, Rahman al-Utslan. Right? There's a parish in the Torah that clearly says that a person is allowed to sell his daughter, right? It says it clearly. Why would a person ever sell his daughter? He's going to be to a point where he sold his metaltalin, he sold his steyachuz, he sold his house. What's he supposed to do now? So he's going to end up selling his daughter. In fact, the Rambam, when he brings the halacha of selling your daughter, he says, "In avra shoy limkar is bitay elim kein heni for loy nisha loy klum loy karka for loy metaltalin va filuk sosha olav." He literally has to have nothing. If he has a shirt, sell your shirt. Don't sell your daughter. So obviously, that's something that's intuitive. So the Torah says that a father has a right to do it. But obviously, needless to say, it's something that's usur unless the person is so desperate. Now go back to the parentheses. Let's say the person sold his daughter and he still didn't chap. He's going to end up being loyve beribis. You have the parish of ribis right there. Oh, the Gemara says, "I forgot to beat the behind Yonah Lesa Nichal Inish the Lisbon Barte for the Leza Peribisa." Says the Gemara. Again, the Gersoy is, you have to work out a little bit better here. But the point is, even though the parish of selling your daughter is not mentioned over there in parishes Bahar, right? What's Rabbi Yosef Chanina doing? He's explaining the smichus of the parishes. Doesn't say anything about not selling your daughter, but it does sell ribis. It does say borrow, you know, with ribis. And the point is that borrowing with ribis is so chamer that we're going to interject selling your daughter to show that it's actually better to sell your daughter than it is to borrow ribis. Nichalei le'inish the lizbin barte for like lizf beribisa dilu hasa migrav hasla. Because if somebody borrows ribis, he's going to end up with nothing. The interest is going to kill him. Viluhacha kamais for hasla. But as it relates to his daughter, she's only sold until she becomes a naira or for 6 years. Eventually, she'll come free. Not just that, you can redeem her. And with every passing year, the redemption amount is less. The bottom line is, so that's better. What if a person still doesn't chop? So, I mean, he sold his metaltlin, he sold his steyachuza, he sold his house, he sold his daughter, he borrowed beribis, and he's still not chopping. You know, the last thing he's going to end up selling himself. Not only that, it may get so bad that you're going to sell yourself to a ger. Not a ger tzedek, el ger toishav, who's a oivet keichavim, who keeps the shevet mitzvot b'nei neich. Shenem el ger toishav. Mishpach hasger, what does that mean? Zeh oivet keichavim, kshuoyim ha'od le'eker, zeh hanim kevenasim v'sholos oivet keichavim ma'atzmi. You may even get to the point where you're going to be a mishoris oivet keichavim. But what's the bottom? What do you see from here? You know what you see from here is that who's the person that sells him? Who's this Eved Ivri? Right? They say, who is the Eved Ivri? The Eved Ivri is a person who is literally at the bottom of this. He started off doing business with Avak Shvius, and look at the things that he did, and my boss, and my hirgish, he's not so like a hater. He stooped very, very low from a ruchnia standpoint, from a financial standpoint. This is the Eved Ivri. So says the Gemara, really, you're so certain that if you're not sure whether we should go l'kula l'chumra for an Eved Ivri, that you're going to go l'kula? Why are you going to go l'kula? Because he's the Eved Ivri. What do you mean? Look at Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina's piece. Look at what he thought of the Eved Ivri. The Eved Ivri is the person that after his whole life fell apart, he still didn't have a Hira Tshuva. Amalezi told him back, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, you find that the Torah says that as low as the Eved Ivri is, he still have to have Rachmanus on it. Rabbi Shmuel, just because he sold himself to Avodah Zarah, you would have thought that maybe you should add insult to injury, right? Knock a person when he's down. You see from here, that you have to go ahead and you have to be goyel him. Either way, the Gemara says so. Bottom line is, therefore, it's for that reason that you're supposed to be mako. Let's stop here. Either way, so just a little bit of raid as it relates to this last Gemara. So we mentioned over here this idea of an Eved Ivri is ki toiv lo imach. And we learn from there, icha imach b'maychel, imach b'mishte, shloitei oichel pas nekiya oichel pas. So if you have an Eved Ivri, you can't treat the Eved Ivri any less than you treat yourself. And it's learned from a pasuk that says ki toiv le'imach in the context of the Eved Ivri. So much so that the Gemara said that you see from here, mikan amru hakoyne Eved Ivri kekoyne adon la'atzmai. Three ha'aris. The first ha'ar is the Cheshek Shloima. The Cheshek Shloima in the Sechtes Kedushin Dafchaf Amar Aleph says a dover nifla. He says it always bothered him. Why is it that an Eved Ivri has a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel? So an Eved Kanani, we know, does not have a mitzvah to be Oyler Regel. It's one of the sugis in the beginning of Masechtas Chagiga, and we actually had in the beginning of Masechtas Erech, and if it sounds familiar, right? Hakol Chayovim Beria, and Hakol Lasuyemai, all the Hakols, and in the context of the Hakol, the Gemara mentioned that a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin, right? An Eved Kanani is not Chayiv and Ria. Why? Because it says in the Torah, Sholosh Pomim Mashonah, the mitzvah is Yeirah es pnei ha'odin Hashem. Mi she'in lo yalo odin echad. as opposed to an Eved Kanani who has two Adoins. He has the Adoin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he also has his master. He's a slave. He's not a free man. So it's only if you're free and your Adoin is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An Eved Kanani has free to Cheshek Shloimo. So what about an Eved Ivri? L'chari, an Eved Ivri also has an Adoin. So if he has an Eved Adoin, why is it that an Eved Ivri is Chayi Briya? So to Cheshek Shloimo, I think the Teretz is, because the Gemara says, Kalakoyne Eved is Kakoyne Adoin La'atz Maidami. And when you're an Eved Ivri, you're not the Eved. You're not the Eved. Faker, du bist chan odin oichet. Because kakoyne odin la'atz maidami. You're not a regular Eved. You're right. If slaves would be treated in the world of Eved Ivri the way they're treated in the Veld, like an Eved Kanani, then an Echanami, he would have another odin as a result to be potter. But being that, mikan omru, akoyne Eved Ivri, kakoyne odin la'atz maidami. They're actually pretty equal. I mean that they're pretty equal. It's for that reason the halacha is that you're not going to have this halacha. Tosfos in Masechtas Kedushin Daf Chaf Lamed. So this Gemara that we just learned right now is verbatim a Gemara in Masechtas Kedushin as well. And Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Chaf Lamed Aleph, it's the bottom Tosfos, brings a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that what happens if a master has only one bed? So we discussed where you can't sleep with a pillow and a blanket and have your Eved sleep on the floor. You can't eat good food and have him eat bad food. What if there is only one pillow? One pillow. So what do? You fight for the pillow? So who ends up getting it? So it's the Yerushalmi. It says the Yerushalmi. Pomim ein lo yele kar achas, im shoychev olav ba'atzmei, ein imakayim ki toiv lo imach. Den einoi shoychev olav, gam ein imoysu la'adizu midastoy. Nimtza, shet tzorech limtzer la'avdoy. V'hainu odoy la'atzmei. And Tosfos brings this to Yerushalmi to answer Kash. He says, what, how do you understand the Gemara? If someone's koina eved ivri is koina odoin la'atzmei, why is he koina odoin la'atzmei? He's not an odoin, they're equal. Right? You're the odoin, but to a degree, he has to be equal to you. But I'm still the odoin, I still have more than you, right? At the end of the day, I'm paying your bills, you're not paying mine. So from that standpoint, you'd think the boss is still the odoin. Zok Tosfos, so why is it koina based on this Yerushalmi? Because the Yerushalmi says they're only equal if there's enough of both. But what if there's not enough for both? What if there's only enough for one? So who gets it? The Eved gets it. And that's where it's manifest. The Kekoina Adon La'atzmei Dami, as I state in Yerushalmi, as is brought down by Tosfos and Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Chaf Amaral. But it's Yodua. It's Yodua. That the Torah is Chaim in Masechtas Bava Metzia Daf Samach Beis Amaral. And the Ram Shif in Masechtas Bava Metzia Daf Samach Beis Amaral. Ask a Bamba Kasha from a Gemara that we always talk about. So Bava Metzia Daf Samach Beis Amaral, you immediately have to go to Ben Peturo and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, Shnayim Shoyim Mahalch Maderech. There were two people that were walking together. Echad Me'an Kitein Shomayim. One of them had a Kitein Shomayim. And they were both starving to death. Literally. If one of them will drink the Kitein Shomayim, that person will live. If they'll shear it, or if none of them drink it, they're both going to die. The question is, what are you supposed to do? So Ben Petura said, what, I'm going to drink it, and I'm going to watch you die? Absolutely not. You're not allowed to do it. Atshava Rabbi Akiva. To Rabbi Akiva. Okay. If you have the Kitein Shomayim, you're the one that gets to drink. You don't have to give it to him. It's something that you're allowed to keep to yourself. Freak the Teres Chayim. And freak the Ram Shiv. How does this Rabbi Akiva do with the Yerushalmi? L'chayr the Yerushalmi says, Kitoiv la'imach. You know what we learn from Kitoiv la'imach? We learn from there that you have to be equal. But that's only if there's enough for both. If there's only enough for one, then you give it to the Eved Ivri. And that's the Oimik says Tosfos. In Kolakoyne Eved Ivri Kikoyne Adon La'atzmai. Why is it Adon? We're equal. No, we're only equal if there's enough for both. Otherwise, you're going to be the Adon and I'm going to be the Eved, so to speak. L'chayr, what happened to the halacha of V'chayochicha imach? Where we learn from there, Chayecha Koydim. And the truth is, if you want to understand the kasha on a deeper level, ki toiv loy imach, right? The question is, how do you teach imach? Rabbi Akiva is darshaning v'cheyochicha imach, that he has to be toffel to you. I come for you're imach, you're with me. I am seven, I'm first, you're second. I sit in the driver's seat, you sit in the back seat. That's what imach means. Imach means, but you're secondary. Ki toiv loy imach, icha b'maych, imach b'maych, the Yerushalmi is teaching just the opposite. Imach means you're ahead. The bottom line is, Azoy Freik the Teres Chaim, Azoy Freik the Ram Shef. There's many, many terutzim that was said to answer this kasha. Incidentally, I'll tell you a davar chadosh. The Meches Chinuch says in mitzvah membeis, he says that he searched chipasti, and he could not find anywhere where the Rambam brings this Yerushalmi. Rambam doesn't bring this Yerushalmi. It's very important Yerushalmi. Rambam doesn't bring it. So Rambam says, Toiv lo imach, we have to be the same. But he doesn't bring that. If you only have one pillow, then the halach is you give it to Yevet Ivri. You don't keep it for yourself. And the Menuchas Chinuch says that it's a t'miyah how the Rambam didn't bring this Yerushalmi. And he says, V'ulai, maybe the Rambam didn't live for Yerushalmi because the Rambam held like the Teres Chaim's Kasha. He felt that this Yerushalmi is really a contradiction to the Gemara in Masechtas Bava Metzia. And the Rambam didn't like any of the Terutzim that were given to this Kasha. So the Rambam walked away with a stira. There's a stira between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says, V'cheyochicha imach Rabbi Akiva's Halacha, chayecha koidem, v'chay chavercha. The Yerushalmi says, Kitoiv lo imach, just the opposite. De'et kol ha-koino, evet ivri ki-koino adon la'atzme domi. That he comes ahead. If it's a machloket between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, you're going to pass like the Bavli. So the Rambam says the Michas Chinuch paskin like the Gemara above Metzia Daf Samach Beis of an Aleph, not like the Gemara in Erech and Daf Lamed, which is also Gemara Masechtas Kedushin Chav. Beautiful mamish v'ru'uyin hadvarim l'bisha amram says the Michas Chinuch. Maybe that's why the Rambam left this out, because maybe the Rambam felt that it's a stira and the Rambam passed like the Bavli. The Rambam did not paskin like the Yerushalmi. But as it relates to the Ikar Kasha, I just had one machshava, one hergish, and that is, you know, we spoke last week from Rav Shamshon Pinkus, who brought that the Rambam was a doctor. The Rambam was also the Gadol Hador. I mean, he was the Poisek, and the Rambam was Rabban Shal Kol Bnei Agoyim. I mean, the Rambam, right? The Rambam. And the Rambam, when he was seeing patients, and very often the waiting room would get backed up, and the Rambam felt bad. He felt bad that people had to wait. Specifically, the Rambam would break sometimes to eat lunch. It's amazing. And the Rambam felt that, here, I'm going to eat lunch while people are waiting for me. And the Rambam would go, and he would speak to the chevra there. And he would go over to them, and he would apologize for them. He would say, I'm sorry. And Rav Shamshon Pinkus brought this out in the context of, if you think about who the Rambam was, and here the Rambam's treating patients and the sensitivity that the Rambam had, even to the Pashatiyah. And he says that everybody has COVID for the chashuvim, and it's psukim in the Torah. Vadar to pnei sakan, mipnei seva takim. You have to. As Hashem lekechatira l'rabbis talmidei chachamim. So obviously, a person has an obligation to have special COVID and special yira for parents and for rabbeim and for older people and for people that are chashuv. But at the same time, a yid has to be sensitive to everybody. And he was bringing out how the Rambam was so sensitive to every person. The truth is that you find even another wrinkle to this idea. And that is that when a person's down, you actually have to be extra sensitive to him. The thought or the marimakim that came to mind is that Rachel comes to Yaakov and she says, Havali banim. She says, Leah has a family. Everybody has a family. She says, Havali banim. So what did Yaakov Avinu say? What, Hatachas alikim anoichi? What, am I Hashem? He says, why are you telling me Havali banim? He says, I wish you could have a family. He got very angry. He got angry at Rachel. And Chazal said that Yaakov was punished for what happened. He got punished. Why did he get punished? Says the Medrash. This is the way you talk to someone that's in pain? He says, why do you think Rachel came to you talking this way? Think she doesn't know? What, you think that Rachel thinks you're the reason she doesn't have children? Rachel knew Yaakov worked for her all these years. Rachel knew the truth, but now she's in pain. And when a person's in pain, doesn't think straight. And sometimes you say things that are silly. And sometimes you say things that don't make any sense. So, because it was a taina on Yaakov Avinu for not being extra sensitive to Rachel. Meaning, had Rachel not been minama ukais, Yaakov was right. He had a right to get angry at her. What do you want from me? But I was thinking that could be your right. Ordinarily, it's chayecha koidem l'chayi chavera. But at the same time, you have an Eved Ivri who's living in your house. Nebuch, this person, look at what he went through. He sold his daughter, he sold his he's mamish at the bottom, he's the bottom of the totem pole right now. He had to sell himself into slavery. You have to be maybe extra sensitive to him. So it's true, ordinarily, chayecha koidem l'chayi chavera. Yeah, not lahalacha, but just the machshava that you have an Eved Ivri living in your house and you have one pillow. Be a mensch. Give it to the Eved Ivri. Kach oinim esam ha'ukais. You take care of him. This is an extra sensitivity. Not only are you also going to be mechabed the Eved Ivri, but fakir. This is a person that's down. Sometimes you have to be sensitive to people while they're down and go ahead and be a little bit extra sensitive. Just to end with a beautiful hergish from the Znaim Luter, the Lutzkerov, whose yard site was, I think, Matzah Shabbos. But so it says the Lutzkerov as follows. The pasuk that says, Ki toiv lo imach. So it's in Parashas Re'eh, it's Perek Tez Vav, it's pasuk Tez Zayin. V'hoyo ki yoimar, eilecho lo yetze me'imach. What's going to be if the Eved's going to come to you today? I don't want to leave. Why not? Ki ahevcho, the espe secho, ki toiv lo imach. That's this pasuk. What's the context of the pasuk Ki toiv lo imach? This is an Eved Ivri who 6 years are up, his sentence is done, he can go free. I don't want to go free, I want to stay. He says, I want to stay. And he could stay, he has to be a nirtzah. Says the Torah, the parashah, but that's where it says, right? Meaning, what's the context? He doesn't want to leave because he has it so good. Because it's Kitay Vayis, one pillow, and he has it. So it's not such a bad deal. Says does Naim Lotayro. We know that wherever it says Vayihi, in the Lashon Sam. Wherever it says Vahaya, it's a Lashon Simcha. Says the Lutzkura, what's the Vahaya? What's the Simcha? Simcha Ubisura Toivali Yisrael. You know what the Simcha is? That we can have a Torah that tells us how you treat an Eved, that can come to a point where the Eved is ready to go free, and he says, I don't want to go free. Ki toiv lo yimach. There's no greatest simcha that a Yid should have when he reads this pasuk. The fact that you can be mavasedra, and you can see this concept, just think about what you're reading, that there's an Eved who doesn't want to go free. Where would you ever hear such a thing? No, the teretz is because we have Mishpatei HaTorah. And the Mishpatei HaTorah say, Ki toiv lo yimach. Imach b'maychel, imach b'mishta. Imach, like the Yerushalmi says. We have all these halachas of how you're supposed to treat an Eved Ivri. Says the Lutzkrov, that's the Vahaya. You know what the simcha is? It's simcha for us. How lucky we are, Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu, that we have a Torah with laws that can result in a place where a person is able to go free, and he doesn't want to go free, Ki Toiv Lo Yimach.